David's Dairy Digital Dollop. 331. That was not a cough for dramatic effect. That was very much a real cough. I've still hardly got any voice left. I mean, I shouldn't really be recording a dollop. I should really be writing one, but if I write one, then it just creates more work for me, because at some point I'm going to have to record one, and I'm already 9 days behind, and I can't afford to get more than 9 days behind. At some point I'm going to have to catch up, so I need to do a dollop. So here we are. I'm doing one. Despite the fact that I don't have any voice, so it's going to be a short one. On the train journey back, I ended up chatting to loads of people. My intention was to write the dollop, but I ended up chatting to loads of people. I was heading to London to see my girlfriend, and I was meant to be in London for this week seeing friends as well. So the idea was to see my girlfriend on the Sunday and then spend a bit of Monday with her and then see my friends Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And I'd already booked the train travel and I'd already booked the hotels and stuff like that, so I didn't really want to cancel things because that would let people down. But at the same time, what I really could have just done with was just resting my voice and just being in my own bed and just doing nothing. Apart from, obviously, the David's Daily Digital Dollop. That is paramount. That will stay regardless. But I had no chance to do that, really. But I thought, well, at least I can spend the train journey just... I've got 3.5 hours. I thought, at least I can spend the train journey just relaxing, just writing a dollop and resting my voice. So we just finished our singing weekend. As I told you in yesterday's dollop, I could barely talk by the end of that. And I was just looking forward to resting my voice. But it turned out that 6 of the singing weekenders were actually... getting on the same train, and we all sat together and they were all very chatty, and so I ended up getting in conversation with them. And at this point my voice was in absolute agony, and I sort of wanted to talk to them. It was nice to talk to them, but I was aware that firstly I needed to write the dollop, and secondly I didn't really have much of a voice and I was taxing it a bit. But at the same time I wanted to be sociable and make conversation, and because I was sitting with them, it didn't seem right to sort of say, well, that's it, I'm just doing my own thing, I'm getting my laptop out now and I'm just going to write. And also I wouldn't be able to concentrate because I'd be listening to what they were saying and I'd probably end up chipping in and stuff. So I ended up talking on the train for the first hour and a half of the journey. And then we got to Doncaster, where we had to change, and we were all in separate seats. There weren't any seats together and they were in a different carriage. So I thought, well, I'll see them say goodbye at the end of, you know, when we get to London, but now I'll be able to rest my voice and get on with the dollop. So I said goodbye to the 6 people and I said, we'll see you at the other end. I'll see you at London King's Cross to say goodbye. And then I was sitting next to someone on the train who'd also reserved a seat. No one I knew. She starts talking to me, because she'd heard me say goodbye to everybody. She went, oh, your voice doesn't sound like it's very good. And I said, oh, no, I've got a sore throat. And I started telling her about it. She says, oh, how did you get that then? What have you been up to? So I sort of, out of politeness, started telling her what I'd been doing. And she's like, oh, that sounds really interesting. So she started asking me loads of questions about it. And I was, again, too polite to sort of say, oh, I really need to rest my voice here. Anyway, so I ended up talking to her for another half an hour. And then she says, right, I've got to get off here. I'm getting off here. It's been lovely to talk to you. You make sure you rest that voice. Looks like you need to rest your voice. And I'm thinking, well, I was trying to rest my voice, but you were talking to me, asking me questions. Obviously, I didn't say that. I was like, oh, yes, of course I will. So she gets off, and I think, finally, I can write the dollop and rest my voice. And what happens? Someone else sits next to me and starts talking to me. She's like, oh, the trains are running a bit behind, aren't they? And so I just sort of tried to say, yeah... But it kind of came out, well, like that, basically. She went, oh, you don't sound very well. And I was, oh, here we go again. I was like, no, not really. Oh, how did you get a sore throat like that? So again, had to answer her questions. And anyway, she kept saying, oh, well, the best thing to do is just to rest your voice. That's what you need to do. You just need to have a good rest. Rest your voice and stuff like that. But then she kept asking me more and more questions. And this is ridiculous, because at least the other one had given me the rest your voice advice at the end. Maybe suddenly realised the irony of what she just said and thought, oh, bloody hell, I've just made him talk for the last half hour. But this one was telling me to rest my voice while asking me more and more questions. But then after each thing, she was like, yeah, all you need is a bit of rest. Make sure you get some rest. Rest that voice. And I'm thinking, but I'm trying to rest my voice. I was trying to work out maybe if I could do it in a bit of a joke. I could say, well, I'm trying to rest my voice, but you keep talking to me. Could I do it as a joke? But I was a bit worried, because I'd then have to do a bit of a laugh if I was to do that. I'd have to sort of try and go, yeah, well, I'm trying to rest my voice, but someone keeps talking to me. But the trouble is, my laugh at that point was coming out really weirdly. I talked about this in yesterday's dollop, so I was a bit worried that my laugh would be like, oh, well, I'm trying to rest my voice, but someone keeps talking to me. And that would just freak her out. And she'd think, what the bloody hell is he doing? Is he about to attack me? Is he angry? So I thought, well, I don't want to do that. So I was just polite, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'll try and rest my voice. So I end up spending the majority of the train journey talking to her, and then she gets off the train, and then it's the final leg of the journey, and there's no one sitting next to me. And I think, right, finally, I can get to London. I'll have a nice, relaxing meal with my girlfriend, and we'll just chill, and I don't really have to use my voice. There's no real reason to use my voice, really. You know, I can just whisper to her, essentially. It's just the two of us. And at that minute, I get a text. There was an original plan which had been changed, which was to meet her parents the first time. We've only been together a month and a half, and their plan was to meet her parents, but then that sort of fell through. But then she said, oh, meeting the parents, back on the cards. I've booked a table for 7 o'clock. And I thought, my God, I've got no voice. And now I've got to do the meet the parents thing, and I sound like a serial killing pervert or something, you know. I sound very dodgy, and, you know, I've got to kind of meet the parents like this. Not only do I have to make conversation, but also I'm worried about what the heck they're going to think about me. And by this point, I've got hardly any voice at all, but obviously I didn't want to say, oh, no, that's not a good idea. So I was like, oh, yes, absolutely fine. I thought, I've got to use my voice even. You know, there's still no rest for the voice. I get off at the train station, and she says, oh, I'm running a bit late. It's proving difficult to get out of work. I'll be there in about an hour or so. Anyway, so I meet up with the people who had been on the singer weekend with us, and I said, oh, I've got about an hour and a half wait until my girlfriend arrives. And he said, oh, well, we'll have a tea with you. We'll come and have a tea with you. I thought, well, that's nice, because I could do with a warm drink. But then, obviously, we got chatting even more. By this point, my voice is absolutely shot to bits. I can't talk. And I said, oh, well, feel free, you know. You don't have to wait. If you want, I can just get on with some typing and stuff. And they were like, oh, okay, well, we'll leave you now and you can rest your voice. They leave, and what happens? Someone comes up to me. Is anyone sitting here? I said, no. So he sits down, and he basically starts having a chat with me. He's this Yorkshire bloke. He says, hey, sounds like you're from the same area that I'm from, mate. Where are you from? And we end up chatting. He says, oh, it doesn't sound like you've got a good voice there. And we end up chatting. Oh, you need some rest, mate. That's what you need. You just need some rest. And I'm bloody trying to rest, but everyone keeps trying to talk to me. And I'm thinking, I'm now talking to a complete stranger, at least with the other people I was talking to, you know, the singing weekenders, I sort of knew who they were. Now I'm talking to an absolute stranger. Normally I'd be absolutely fine with this, but I'm trying to write a dollop, and I'm trying to rest my voice, and I've got to meet my girlfriend's parents for the first time. I'm just trying to rest my voice. And the stupid thing as well was I sort of thought, well, if I explain this to him, maybe he'll sort of say, oh, I'll leave you in peace, mate. But I didn't. He's like, oh, meeting the parents for the first time, and hey, how did you meet? And all this just didn't make a single bit of difference. And then eventually he was like, right, well, I've got to go now. You make sure you rest that voice, mate. By the time it came to meeting the parents, all I could muster was, you know, bearing in mind I'd used my voice for the entire weekend, I then spent the rest of the few hours talking to strangers on the train and at the train station. By the time it came to the important meeting of meeting my girlfriend's parents for the first time, all I could muster was essentially that kind of weird noise. I could barely speak. Goodness knows what they thought. Couldn't do anything. I could barely speak. I managed to utter a few words, but it was hard going. But on the plus side, though, it meant that I didn't get the interrogation that I might have otherwise got. You know, I might have got the whole, when Katie went to the toilet, I might have got the whole, what are your intentions with our daughter, and that kind of thing. But because I couldn't speak, I didn't get any of that, because it wouldn't have got any sense out of me anyway. And to be honest, they probably thought, well, we know what your intentions are with my daughter. We can hear it. You sound like a serial killing pervert. I don't think the question needed to be asked. Oh, so it was quite an odd day yesterday, and now I can't speak. So I'm going to end the dollop here. But hopefully you have enjoyed this little tale. And also, Katie was on the phone to her dad a few minutes ago, and he was asking how I was doing. And she said, oh, he's doing all right, but he's just about to go and try and record a dollop. And she said, oh, I'll make sure I listen. So if you are listening, then I apologise for my weird visceral noises. And I want you to know that I just had a sore throat. I am not a serial killing pervert. A pervert, yes, maybe, but I only committed 3 murders. Does that really make me a serial killer? Maybe it does, but they were quite spread out, sort of a few years apart. So I'm not sure if you can class me as a serial killer. I'm a dabbler, more of a dabbler, a dabbling pervert. So hopefully that puts your mind at ease there. And to the rest of you, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow for dollop 332. Hello. Could you hear me?
In case you're listening, I'm not a serial killer. I'm a dabbler.
I thought you'd have been sat in here. I, like, open the door really quietly, and I close the door really quietly.
Ah, you see how respectful she is?
I am.